This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is the best lecture series. Lessons and talks on various Islamic topics.
This week's program is The Lore of Shaytan and the Promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by Shaykh Abu Yusuf Riyadul Haq.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء والله يعدكم مغفرة منه وفضلا والله واسع عليم وقال سبحانه وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Respected listeners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, which I have just recited, the shaitan promises you poverty and he instructs you to commit lewdness and immorality. And Allah promises you forgiveness and grace from unto Himself. The meaning of shaitan promises you poverty. It's twofold. One, whatever shaitan gives as an incentive, whatever hope and ambition he may fuel, regardless of his promises, regardless of what a person seeks in that thing, the end, ultimate and inevitable result will always be loss and poverty in every way. That's one meaning, that regardless of shaitan's promises, despite his adorning and beautifying everything, man's ambition of wealth and success will never be realized by following shaitan's plans, but ultimately everything will end in defeat and loss and true poverty. Another meaning of the word ya'idukum is that shaitan threatens you with poverty. And that's what I would like to concentrate on. That shaitan ya'idukum al-faqr. Shaitan threatens you with poverty. Wa ya'murukum bil-fahsha. And he instructs you to commit lewd and immoral things. Wallahu ya'idukum maghfiratan minhu wa fadla. And conversely, on the contrary, Allah promises you forgiveness from himself and his bounty and grace. The world that we live in, virtually everything that we do on the premise of a promise. We do because of certain expectation. Whether it's to do with religion or whether it's to do with the dunya. We work in the hope of receiving payments against the promise of being paid. We learn, we study again with the hope and with the promise of obtaining a qualification that itself will lead to further things. We enter into relationships, we enter into contracts, we work, we do, we earn. Virtually everything that we do in lieu of a promise because of a certain expectation. We buy something, we purchase it, we pay our money against the promise of receiving a certain good. We part with our goods against the promise of receiving payment. So most things, if you look at them very carefully, we actually do them because we hope for something in return. And there's a promise behind it. Whether it's to do with religion, even religion, why do we pray Salah? A person comes and prays Salah because Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have promised him a certain reward. People believe in Allah Azza wa Jal because of a certain promise that Allah has made that will be fulfilled in the Akhirah. So whether it's to do with religion or the world, if not everything, but most of what we do because of a certain promise and expectation. And the people of the world can be divided into two clean groups. Well, very cleanly, they can be divided into two groups. One, the group that follows the promises of shaitan. And the second group, that which follows the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the first group that follows the promises of shaitan, unfortunately, that constitutes a majority of the world. Muslims and non-Muslims alike. Of course, the non-Muslims are even more engrossed in these things. But those Muslims who indulge in the same things have been affected to a great extent. And we should question ourselves, to which party do we belong to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mujadala, استحوذ عليهم الشيطان فأنساهم ذكر الله أولئك حزب الشيطان ألا إن حزب الشيطان هم الخاسرون. The shaitan has become dominant over them. Shaitan has prevailed over them. And thus he has caused them to become neglectful and forgetful of the remembrance of Allah. This is the party of shaitan, and know that the party of shaitan are the losers. These promises on which we do a lot. Shaitan has made certain promises to us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made certain promises. Shaitan's promise doesn't necessarily come in the form of a waswasa, meaning a satanic whisper, an insidious thought. But shaitan's message is being pumped out. These promises of shaitan are being made by everybody. Governments, people, individuals, the whole of society, the media. Why? Because everyone has become so accustomed to the same thinking. Everyone has been so taken in by these promises of shaitan that everybody is simply repeating the promises that shaitan made and that he continues to make to people. And what are these promises of shaitan? Quite simply, that this life of the world is all there is. There is no resurrection and there is no life after death. And there are those who believe in this literally, so they will actually denounce religion, they will renounce belief in life after death, and they will openly say, in here illa hayatuna dunya namutu wa nahya wama nahnu bimbuthin, as Allah quotes them in the Quran, that wama yuhlikuna illa dah. They will say that there is no meaning to life except what there is in this world between birth and death. That as time passes, it is only time that consumes us. And there is no concept of life after death, there is no possibility. There was nothing before and there will be nothing after. And in the other verse, Allah quotes them as saying, there is nothing but this life of the dunya. We live and we die. And there is none of us, we are not going to be raised or resurrected again. So there are those kuffar who openly profess this belief. And there are others who may not believe in this by word of mouth. And nominally, they will claim that no, we believe in life after death. But their behavior, their actions, their attitude, their lifestyle, everything that they do and say testifies to the contrary. It's as though, in reality, deep down, they don't believe in the Akhirah and they want to make everything of this dunya. So even these people, though nominally believing in life after death, but because of their lifestyle, their ways, they work only for this dunya, they have also been taken in by these false promises of shaitan. And what are these promises? Mainly, that there is no life after death and this is only this life. Therefore, those who believe only in this life, they seek to secure their success, happiness, felicity, their blessing, their enjoyment, everything in this dunya. Because there's no life after death, or there's a doubt about it, let us ensure that we are happy here. So, this is the message pumped through by everybody to one another. Beginning from individuals within families who advise one another of this, all the way up to the governments that advise their populaces, that advise their subjects, that this is the only way to happiness. Happiness is only in the things of this dunya, in wealth, in power, in prestige, in name, fame, in material possessions, in children, in people of the opposite sex, in relationships. This is the message. This is the promise of shaitan. And like I said, we may not see or hear shaitan whispering this to us himself, because there's no need to. Everyone has taken up the mission of propagating this message for themselves. So much so that even those who are deceived by these promises of shaitan, this is what they teach one another. Parents teach their children the same. Brothers and sisters, siblings speak to one another of the same. Friends and colleagues speak to one another of the same. That all success, all happiness is in securing the icons of success as idealized by the kuffar. Cars, relationships, wealth, money, power, fame, adoration on the part of people, and so on. All of these are part of the promises of shaitan. So shaitan has made his promises that you want to enjoy yourself, you will find enjoyment in these things. You want happiness, happiness is in these things. You want peace of mind and contentment of the heart, your peace of mind and your contentment of the heart is exactly in these things. You want security, your security is in these things. The trappings of success, the icons of success as idealized by the kuffar. And we all, I don't need to repeat them, we all know what they are. Like I said, power, fame, wealth, riches, material possessions. And we could go on specifying the different items in each category. Material possessions, mansions, palatial homes, cars, expensive items, money, just money itself. The dunya in general. And apart from that, wealth. Apart from wealth, power, fame, and so on. All of these are the false promises of shaitan. Shaitan tells you that you will enjoy yourself, you will find your enjoyment, your success, your felicity, your blessing, your happiness in these things. When Allah Azza wa Jal says that shaitan ya'idukum al-faqr, that shaitan threatens you with poverty, this is shaitan's philosophy, and this is ultimately the philosophy of every man who works only for this dunya. He continues to earn for the fear of poverty. A man may have assets of £100,000, his home, his car, his savings, his cash, all put together. But he still considers himself poor, and he fears. His fear is that what will happen to me and my family if something was to happen? If I was to lose my job? If my investments were to fail? If sudden disaster was to strike? Then all my savings would go. Therefore, in order to secure himself against such an eventuality, what he does, he works even harder to increase that sum. He may increase it twofold. He has assets worth £200,000. But he still fears poverty. Poverty for himself, poverty for his family and his children. And he will go on working, working, working. He will never be satisfied. And one of, subconsciously, deep down, and sometimes even openly, he says to people, "Look, alhamdulillah, you know, I have no love for the dunya. But I'm doing this for the sake of my family and my children. That I can provide for them, I can ensure that they are rendered financially independent, that they are not dependent on anyone, and so on." So this fear of poverty drives him to continuously earn. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma relates in a hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, as well as others. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if man was to have two valleys of gold, not a few hundred thousand here and there, and not a few nuggets of gold, or a few bars, if man was to have two valleys of gold, he would desire a third, because he still doesn't feel secure with two, nor does he feel content. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ends the hadith by saying, وَلَنْ يَسُدَّ جَوْفَ ابْنِ آدَمَ إِلَّا الطُّرَابِ وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابِ. Nothing can fill this inner vacuum, nothing can fill the heart or the stomach of man except the dust of the earth when he is placed in his grave. The only time his ambitions will come to an end, the only time when his fear of poverty will cease, the only time when his heart and this vacuum will be filled and this his heart will be satisfied is when it is filled with the dust of the grave. And then finally the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابُ. And Allah does accept in repentance, and Allah does turn to those in mercy whom He wills. So there are a few selected servants of Allah Azza wa Jal who are able to purify and cleanse their hearts of these fears and of this attachment to the dunya and of this love. And to them, the dunya is nothing, their gaze is focused on the akhirah, on the hereafter. But otherwise, most have been duped by this false, by these false promises of shaitan, that we seek happiness. Shaitan tells you happiness is in these things, and blindly we are pursuing them, and at great cost. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made His promises, but very few of us pay attention to the promises of Allah azza wa jalla. Shaytan threatens us with poverty, and he continues to say, no, you still haven't done enough. A lot of people say, I just need to sort out my finances and inshallah I'll start practicing. Others say, I need to sort out my life, and then once I've earned enough, then I'm going to pay more attention to my deen. Some people do practice, but then they don't commit themselves fully. Their excuse is, let me earn enough, then I will commit myself fully. Others don't even practice, apart from the occasional salah and siyam, etc. They do miss a lot of obligations. Their argument is similar. Allow me to become financially independent, let me secure myself, and then I will pay more attention to deen. But this will never end, because shaitan will always feed this fear of poverty. And that fear of poverty will continue to drive that person. He will never consider himself to be financially independent. He will never consider himself to be sufficiently wealthy to stop working so hard for the dunya and to devote more time to the akhirah. That's why in a hadith, Rasulullah related by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi wa sallam, it's part of the hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ السَّبْعَ هَلْ تَنْتَظِرُونَ إِلَّا فَقْرًا مُنْسِيًا أَوْ غِنًا مُطْغِيًا. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hasten towards good deeds before the coming of seven things. What are you waiting for? Meaning, start your good deeds now. Hasten towards your good deeds now, before the arrival of seven things. And he mentioned seven things, the first two of which were, إِلَّا فَقْرًا مُنْسِيًا. Are you waiting for poverty, such abject poverty, such dire poverty, that will make you forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Meaning, if you think you're poor now, who knows when true poverty strikes you? And that will be such a poverty that it will lead you to committing kufr. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قَادَ الْفَقْرُ أَنْ يَكُونَ كُفْرًا. Poverty is close to being kufr, in that poverty for some people is such that it makes them despair in the mercy of Allah, it makes them hopeless and despondent, and it leads them to totally neglecting their religion. Because as Allah describes in a verse of the Quran, وَمَنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ. There are amongst people those who worship Allah on the edge. Therefore, as long as good fortune meets them, they are content. But the moment a calamity befalls them, then they flip onto their faces. They lose their dunya and their akhirah. This is the true and clear loss. Meaning these people, they will worship Allah. They will continue to practice. They will continue to believe, as long as they are satisfied and content with the life of the dunya and with their general circumstances. The moment disaster strikes, the moment poverty hits them, or anything happens, then these people, they express their anger to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by renouncing his religion and by detaching themselves from him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hasten towards good deeds now before the arrival of seven things. Maybe poverty may come upon you, such dire and abject poverty which will make you truly forgetful of Allah and of religion altogether. Or, so you think you're poor now, who knows, such poverty may come upon you that will make you forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by comparing yourself to that poverty, you will be considered extremely wealthy right now. Or, you keep on thinking that you want to earn more, you want to secure yourself, you want to render yourself financially independent, you want to make sure that you are sufficiently wealthy before you begin to practice or before you begin to do good deeds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the second thing, how about if you do become rich, richer than you are now, you do become quite wealthy, but by that time, that wealth will have corrupted you to the extent that it makes you a transgressor and a rebel against Allah and His religion. So, this fear of poverty drives us. Allah says, الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ. Shaitan threatens you with poverty. And as a result, وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَىٰ. These two things go hand in hand. The fear of poverty leads to the love of the dunya and constantly earning and becoming engrossed in the dunya. Becoming engrossed in the dunya ultimately paves the way for shaitan to invite people and to instruct them, and they will listen to his instruction, they will obey his command. وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَىٰ. To commit in lewdness. The wealthier a people become, the more engrossed they become in their dunya. The more they continue to follow the footsteps and the invitations and the whispers and the promises and the threats of shaitan, he will not only just lead them to commit to earning more and more. No. Therefore, people who think that, oh, Alhamdulillah, I'm good in every other way. I'm just very weak about money. I don't commit sins, I don't drink, I don't take drugs, I don't experiment with drugs. Alhamdulillah, I haven't committed adultery. I'm not guilty of the more lewd and immoral sins that other people are guilty of. People who consider themselves protected and immune, in that sense, should fear. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a hadith, every ummah has a fitna, wa fitnatu ummati al-mal, and the fitna of my ummah is wealth. He never said the fitna of my ummah is zina. He never said the fitna of my ummah is women. In another hadith, there is another, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً أَضَرَّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ, that for the men of my ummah, I have not left behind any fitna which is more dangerous and more harmful to them than the fitna of women. But here he talks in general for the whole ummah. Every previous ummah had a fitna for which they were destroyed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the fitna of my ummah is wealth. Now, when this fitna sets in, initially it may be just wealth, but ultimately, as Allah says, وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ, shaitan instructs you to committing lewdness and immorality. This wealth then opens the doors, it paves the way to lewd sins. And ultimately, a man who was only engrossed in the dunya, he becomes such that he does begin to drink, he does begin to experiment with drugs, he does end up, Allah forbid, and Allah protect us, committing zina, and he does end up indulging in the more lewd and immoral and shameful acts that initially he considered himself protected from. This is the end result. There is a connection between the two. The fear of poverty leads a person to earning more and more, to working more and more, to becoming more and more engrossed in the dunya at the expense and at the neglect of his religion. Initially he may think, I'm just working, I'm just earning for the family, so on and so forth. When the love of the dunya becomes embedded in the heart, at first the fitna and the sin may be just to do with wealth, but then it logically follows. It's a progressive development. That love of wealth will lead a person to answer the second call of shaitan, which is an invitation to commit lewd and immoral sins. As Allah says, الشيطان يعيدكم الفقر, shaitan threatens you with poverty, ويأمركم بالفحشاء, and he instructs you to commit lewdness. Shaitan has made his promises, and he made it clear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what he wanted to do with Allah's creation. Shaitan's promises are such that he will use everything in his arsenal of weapons and any units in his army to feed these false promises to people and to invite them and to take them on the path of destruction. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لَعْنَهُ اللَّهُ وَقَالَ لَأَتَّخِذَنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِكَ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيَتَّخِذُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ ومن يتخذ الشيطان وليا من دون الله فقد خسر خسرانا مبينا يعدهم ويمنيهم وما يعدهم الشيطان الا غرورا. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Shaitan, Allah has cursed him. And he said to Allah, that, oh Allah, I shall take a set portion of your servants with me to the fire of Jahannam. And how? Oh Allah, I will lead them astray. I will most assuredly lead them astray. I will most assuredly and definitely give them hope. And I will certainly instruct them. And as a result of my instructions, they will clip the ears of cattle. And I will instruct them. And they will most assuredly change the creation of Allah. Allah then says, and whoever takes shaitan as his friend and protector, as his wali, besides Allah, then he has lost. He has suffered a clear and great loss. Allah then continues, يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ, shaitan promises them, وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ, and gives them hope and ambition. وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا, but in reality, shaitan does not promise them anything but deception.
You are listening to the best lecture series. We will be back after this short break.
Allah, glory be to Him, says in the Quran,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك أصحاب الجنة هم فيها خالدون.
And those who believe and do good works, such are rightful owners of the garden. They will abide therein.
Welcome back. You're listening to the best lecture series.
Changing the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal is a very wide and general topic and includes many things such as manipulating the genes, physically transforming and changing human bodies, all with the intention of securing happiness and enjoyment in this dunya. Allah says, whoever takes shaitan as his friend, wali, his protector and guardian besides Allah, then he has suffered a clear and immense loss. Allah ends this section by saying, يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ. Yes, shaitan does make promises to them. وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ, and he does give them hopes. All of shaitan's promises. Secure, well, enjoyment and happiness in the dunya. Wealth, prosperity, peace. Peace of mind, contentment of the heart. All the icons of success. Shaitan promises people that this is what they should be working for. These should be their ideals in life. These should be their targets and goals. These should be their ambitions. And that their happiness lies only in these things. This is a promise of shaitan. يَعِدُهُمْ, he does promise them. وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ, and he gives them hope. He gives them hope of happiness, peace and prosperity in the ways of shaitan. But Allah Azza wa Jal ends by saying, وَمَا يَعِدُهُمَ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا, and shaitan does not promise them anything except deception. Whatever shaitan has to offer is like a mirage. It has no reality, no substance, no real existence. And shaitan's methods are such that in another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes him as saying in Surah Al-A'raf, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين. When Allah Azza wa Jal banished him and cursed him for eternity, he said, oh my Lord, just as you have led me astray, well, similarly, I shall sit in the middle of your straight path waiting for them. Then I shall approach them, meaning mankind, from in front, from behind, from their right-hand side, and from their left-hand side. I shall approach them from every direction, and then you will find that most of them are ungrateful. So these are the plots of deception that shaitan employs against mankind. He makes promises to them. He gives them false hope. He feeds and fuels their ambitions, all related to the dunya. And he tells them that happiness, enjoyment, is exactly in the things that I described earlier. Careers, education, wealth, respect, fame, name, peace, prosperity. Peace meaning the peace of the world. Material peace, prosperity, material possessions, in relationships. He promises people that the happiness that you seek is in these things. And Muslims and non-Muslims alike believe them. Even though some people may say, well, but surely this is, happiness is to be found in some of these things. Happiness is when and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Is what Allah azza wa jalla gives to whom He wills and when He wills. An example of happiness, of success, is like electrical appliances. We have various electrical appliances all over the place, even around us. The speaker system, heaters, the lights, the fans, the coolers. Each of these electrical appliances has a different function, but they are all reliant upon one thing in order to function and provide their service: the electrical current. If that electrical current is there, then if they are switched on, the lights will provide light, the heaters will provide the heat, the fans will provide cold air. Each of these appliances will serve its purpose. But with one flick of the switch, a main switch, even at a great distance, these appliances are present in all their variety, but without that electrical current, which can be withdrawn single-handedly, instantly, with the flick of one switch, these electrical appliances may be present. You can tamper with them, replace them, change them. They may be the most ornate and the most expensive electrical items, but if that current isn't there, they will never provide the service, they will never fulfill their function. Similarly, these icons of success, children, marriages, relationships, families, wealth, name, fame, power, careers. All of these things are like these appliances. They are not inherently, they do not inherently provide happiness. They are not innately true icons and appliances of success. No. That success or happiness is like a current. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, He can have that apparent appliance there without the current of happiness. And if Allah wishes, He can give that happiness even without those things. So, a man has power, but deep down he is not happy. A man has wealth, immense wealth. If Allah Azza wa Jalla withdraws that happiness just like that current, because happiness, like everything else, is in the control of Allah. The wealth is there. He may be the richest and the wealthiest man in the region, family, or even the world. But if Allah extracts that happiness from that wealth, it would be a burden and a curse rather than a blessing. A man may be married. A man for a long time longed for children, prayed for them, yearned for them. After many years, Allah blessed the couple with children. They thought their happiness was going to be in the children. If Allah Azza wa Jalla withdraws that happiness from their children, those same children could be a form of punishment for them and an adab. Anything, the material possessions, icons of success, families, relationships, wealth, power, name, fame, children, whatever. Like that current, if Allah Azza wa Jalla wishes, He can deposit happiness in them. If Allah wishes, He can extract happiness from them. It's all in the control of Allah. That's why shaitan's promise is false. Allah says, وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Shaitan cannot promise them anything. Shaitan does not promise them anything except deception. And shaitan knows that. He's more intelligent. He certainly is more intelligent than the fools like us that he deceives and leads astray. Because as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hashr, Allah gives the example of shaitan. Shaitan lures people. And then when the person does what he has to, upon the invitation and upon the behest of shaitan, shaitan quickly and hastily withdraws. Allah says, كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اِكْفُرْ فَلَمَّا كَفَرْ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah says, like the example of shaitan, who tells man, commits kufr, disbelief. When the man does commit kufr and disbelieves, shaitan withdraws and immediately exclaims, إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكِ. I'm free from you. I fear Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And as Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Ibrahim, on the day of judgment, this is exactly what shaitan will say. Our whole life, shaitan has worked hard to deceive us. Our whole life, we have been duped by these false promises of shaitan. And shaitan has made promise after promise.
You are listening to the best lecture series. We will be back after this short break.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
We all face unique challenges in life. And through struggle, we progress. But what makes the difference between those who succeed and those who fail? It is a clear conviction in the higher ideals and purpose of life. Have faith. It works miracles.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the best lecture series.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ibrahim about a conversation that will take place between people and shaitan. Allah says, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنْفُسَكُمْ مَا أَنَا بِمُصْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُصْرِخِي إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِ مِنْ قَبْلُ إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. After a lifetime of deceiving, after a lifetime of deceit and false promises, after having been duped by shaitan in such a grand way, where shaitan made promise after promise, promise of success, promise of wealth, promises of happiness, but only in the dunya, on the day of judgment, people will be angry at shaitan, and they will want to know how they were deceived for so long. And why did shaitan make so many false promises? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on that occasion, this is what will happen. Shaitan will say, once everything has been decreed and sorted, O people, Allah made you a promise, and it was a promise of truth. Shaitan will say that, I also made promises, and Allah made promises. He said, O people, shaytan Allah wa'adakum wa'ad al-haq. Allah made promises to you that were promises of the truth. Wa'adtukum, and I also promised you, I also made promises to you. Fa'akhlaftukum, and then I reneged on my promises. I did not honor my oaths. I did not fulfill my word. And the truth is, people will feel enraged. The truth is, shaytan will say, وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُم مِّن سُلْطَانِ. Allah didn't give me any unique power or jurisdiction or control over you. I could not force you into anything. I could not compel you to do anything. I could not force you to sin. I could not grab you by the hand and lead you somewhere physically, forcibly, leaving you with no choice. وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُم مِّن سُلْطَانِ. I have no control or power over you. إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتَكُمْ My only crime was that I invited you. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. You accepted my invitation. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Therefore do not blame me, rather blame yourselves. مَا أَنَا بِمُسْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُسْرِخِي. This day, I will not be able to save you, nor will you be able to assist me or save me. And indeed, this day, إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِ مِنْ قَبْلِ. I myself commit kufr. I disassociate myself and I disown all of those things which you ascribed to me in partnership with Allah. This day, إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. The sinful, for them is a painful punishment. And this will be shaitan talking. So shaitan's far more intelligent than us, undoubtedly. That he continues to make all of these promises. These allurements of shaitan. These promises are nothing but false. He does not guarantee anything but deception. And whatever he promises is a mirage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made many promises. Allah tells us that the happiness, the contentment of the heart, the peace of mind that we seek, we will not find in wealth, in the trappings of worldly success, in the icons of success as idealized by the disbelievers, in material possessions, in power, name, fame. Allah says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Know that in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find peace. It's in the dhikr and the ibadah of Allah, in nothing else. That's Allah's promise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise is one of the hereafter. Throughout the Quran, Allah has used the word, Allah promises you, Allah promises you. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah says, Allah has promised the believing men and believing women. Allah has promised those who believe and who do good deeds, that for them shall be forgiveness and grace from Allah. In many different verses, Allah Azza wa Jalla has promised us gardens, Jannah. And even more than this, even greater than gardens and Jannah, even greater than paradise, Allah Azza wa Jalla has promised us His pleasure. Allah has promised us, it's not just the Akhirah. If you abide by Allah's laws, if you live by Allah's religion, if you spurn the advances of shaitan, and if you refuse to succumb to his temptations, if you ensure that you are not deluded by his and duped by his promises and deceived by him, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will guarantee you happiness, not only in the Akhirah, but also in this dunya. Allah will grant you success and security in this dunya. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتَ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. It's a very long verse in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says that Allah has promised those of you who believe and who do good. He shall appoint them as leaders in the earth, upon the earth, just as He appointed those who preceded them as leaders upon the earth. And Allah will grant them with power that religion which He has chosen and selected for them. And Allah shall exchange their present fear. Allah shall replace their present fear with security. And then they shall worship none but Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they will fear no one but Allah. Allah has guaranteed glory, success, power to the Muslims in this dunya as well as the Akhirah, on the condition that we abide by Allah's laws and we do those things which Allah Azza wa Jalla expects of us before He will fulfill His promise. Allah has made many promises. But Allah's promises are dependent. The fulfillment of Allah's promise is dependent and conditional upon us keeping our side of the bargain. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنْ مُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ وَعَدًا عَلَيْهِ حَقًّا فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ وَالْقُرْآنِ وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا بِبَيْعِكُمُ الَّذِي بَايَعْتُمْ بِهِ وَذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, indeed Allah has purchased the lives of the believers and their wealth. In Allah ashtara min mu'mineen anfusahum wa amwalahum. In promise of what? Allah has purchased the lives and the wealth of the believers, and Allah has made them a promise. بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ, that for them Allah's promise is Jannah. But the conditions of the bargain are, they shall fight in the way of Allah, kill and be killed. This is a promise binding upon Allah, recorded in the Torah, in the Injil, and in the Quran. And whoever keeps his side of the bargain, and whoever fulfills his oath and covenant with Allah and honors it, then فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا بِبَيْعِكُمُ الَّذِي بَايَعْتُمْ بِهِ, then receive the glad tidings from Allah of a successful deal that you have struck with Him. And this is the immense and the great and true success. So Allah has made promises, but Allah's promises are conditional upon us fulfilling our side of the bargain. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in another verse, إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ, if you assist Allah, Allah shall assist you and grant you steadfastness. In another verse, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, you remember me and I shall remember you. Again in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, addressing Banu Israel and reminding them of the fact that they had a covenant with Allah. If they fulfill that covenant with Allah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will fulfill his side of the bargain, and Allah will show them the truth of his promises. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا, Allah says in another verse of the Qur'an, and who could be more truthful or honest than Allah? Who could be more binding, more honest and truthful in his promise than Allah Azza wa Jalla? So reminding Banu Israel that if you want my promises to be fulfilled for you, then keep your side of the bargain, fulfill your covenant. وَأَوْفُوا بِأَهْدِي أُوفِ بِأَهْدِكُمْ وَإِيَّايَ فَرْحَبُونَ, O Banu Israel, fulfill my covenant and I shall fulfill my promise to you, and fear no one but me. And the lesson is the same for us. And Allah's promise is true. Shaytan's promises are false. And Allah has made many promises. Very few of them are to do with this dunya. Nearly most of them are to do with the akhirah. Allah has reminded us time and time again that this dunya is nothing. In the Quran, the number of verses that speak about the deception of the dunya and the reality of the life of the akhirah are so numerous, one cannot recite them without needing a very long session. That's the number of verses just about the dunya. Verse after verse speaks about how, in one verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla says that whatever you have been given, وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا عِندَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, whatever you have been given in the dunya, whatever you have been given in this world, then this is a meager possession of this worldly life, and that which rests with Allah is far better for you. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, do you not understand? In another verse, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَكُمْ وَلَعِبْ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانَ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and this life of the dunya, this life of the world, is nothing but play and jest. And indeed the life of the hereafter, لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانَ, that is a true life. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ, if only they knew. Verse after verse speaks about the reality of the life of the akhirah. And those, you can only have one, we can only have one, either this dunya or the akhirah. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ كَانُ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَ تَعَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمْ يَصْلَاهَا مَذْمُومٌ مَدْحُورًا وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Allah says, whoever seeks this early life, ajlah meaning this rapid and early life, whoever seeks this rapid and early life, then we shall rapidly give him at an early stage exactly what he desires. But only then, even then, we are selective. We don't give it to everybody. So there are those who will aspire and who will dream for the dunya. But if Allah wishes, Allah will not give it to them, but Allah will still punish them for their desires. So whoever seeks only this early, transitory, and rapid life, then we shall give him this early and rapid life, but only to those whom we will. Then, for them we shall prepare the fire of Jahannam in the Akhirah. They shall enter the fire debased and thrown in, rolled in. And he who seeks the life of the Akhirah and who works and makes an effort for the life of the hereafter, then these are the people whose efforts will be truly rewarded. In another verse, Allah beautifully explains, من كان يريد حرث الآخرة نزد له في حرثه ومن كان يريد حرث الدنيا نؤته منها وما له في الآخرة من نصيب. Allah says, whoever seeks the tilth, meaning the field of crops and vegetation, whoever seeks the tilth of the hereafter, then we shall increase his tilth. And whoever seeks the tilth of the dunya, then we shall give it to him. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. But in the hereafter there will be no share for him at all. None whatsoever. Shaytan has deceived us, and these are his promises on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records in Surah Al-A'raf a conversation that will take place between the inhabitants of Jahannam and the mu'mineen who shall be enjoying themselves in Jannah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ أَنْ قَدْ وَجَدْنَا مَا وَعَدَنَا رَبُّنَا حَقًّا فَهَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدَ رَبُّكُمْ حَقًّا قَالُوا نَعَمْ فَأَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنٌ بَيْنَهُمْ أَلَّعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah says, the people of Jannah shall call out to the people of the fire, and they shall say to them that we have found the promise of our Lord to be true. Have you, the occupants of the fire, also found the promise of your Lord to be true? And the people of Jahannam shall reply, yes, we have also discovered that the promise that Allah made us, meaning that for the disbelievers shall be the fire of Jahannam and for the mu'mineen shall be Jannah, we have also discovered that the promise that Allah made us is true. Then, in order to divide them for eternity, an announcer will announce that may the curse of Allah forever descend upon those who are sinful. So even the kuffar shall realize the truthfulness of Allah's promise. Even Shaytan knows at this moment, and he will also announce on that day, that all along my promises to you were false, and I never intended to keep one. And Allah also made promises to you, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ. And Shaytan will also say that, but Allah's promises to you were true. And Allah's promise is that this life is nothing. Happiness and success and the icons of success in this dunya amount to nothing. These are all the delusions, the mirages, the dreams, the false ambitions and hopes that Shaytan feeds in the minds of the people and lures them. The true promise is that of Allah Azza wa Jalla, which is one only of the Akhirah. In a hadith related by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in his Musnad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الدُّنْيَا دَارُ مَنْ لَا دَارَ لَهُ وَمَالُ مَنْ لَا مَالَ لَهُ وَلَهَا يَجْمَعُ مَنْ لَا عَقْلَ لَهُ. That the dunya is the abode, the dunya is the home of one who has no home. It's the wealth of one who has no wealth. And for the sake of the dunya, gathers wealth that person who has no intelligence. And in many ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained over and over again the reality of this dunya. The reality, the very false nature of this dunya, and that it is nothing but a mirage. It's a deception. There is no happiness. There is no security. There is no peace. There is no prosperity. There is no peace of mind or contentment of the heart in the icons of success that we are fed with morning and evening, day and night, from childhood till death. Success, happiness, security, peace of mind, and contentment of the heart are only in those things, in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah's promises are more to do with the akhirah than this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. I end with just one very beautiful hadith narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi in his Sunan, and also by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in his Musnad, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there are only four different kinds of people in the dunya. The first one is a man whom Allah Azza wa Jalla has given wealth, and Allah has also blessed him with ilm, with knowledge and understanding. This man recognizes Allah's right in his wealth, and he fears Allah in his wealth, and using that wealth, he honors his relationship with his blood, family and relatives. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is the most honorable of all grades. The second man is one whom Allah Azza wa Jal has not blessed with wealth, but Allah has endowed him with intelligence, with learning and wisdom, with ilm. Thus this man, if he had wealth, he says to himself that if I had wealth, I would have recognized Allah's rights in that wealth, and I would have feared Allah in that wealth, and he would have honored is family and blood relationships, using that wealth. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he, the second one and the first one, فَأَجْرُهُمَا سَوَىٰ, their reward is the same. The third man is one whom Allah Azza wa Jal has tested by giving him wealth, but depriving him of ilm, of learning, of understanding, wisdom. As a result of which, he does not fear Allah in his wealth, nor does he recognize Allah's right in that wealth, nor does he honor his blood relations, his blood relationships with that wealth. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is akhbathul manazil, the most evil and despicable of all the grades. And the fourth man is one whom Allah Azza wa Jal has deprived of both wealth and understanding. This man, he looks at the third. And forgive me to say, most of us, we fall into the third category or the fourth category. Third category being those of us whom Allah Azza wa Jal has given wealth. And let's not be fooled. You know, we all look at ourselves and we say, I'm not rich, I'm poor. Of course, if you're comparing yourself to Bill Gates and Larry Ellison, then you are poor. These people make and lose billions in seconds, in minutes and hours. It's been proven. Some of these individuals own more than the GDP of many third world countries. Their assets amount to more than most countries, some countries. So we look at them, we mark them as our targets, and we say to ourselves, as long as I do not get the 50 or 60 billion that Fulan has, then I'm still poor. And we look at them. This is exactly what Banu Israel did with Qarun. Allah speaks of Qarun. Allah says, إِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ Qarun, Allah says, Qarun was a man from amongst the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And he was a real rebel and transgressor. Because of his wealth and pride, he was haughty and he was arrogant. And he transgressed against the people. Allah says, we had given him so much wealth. We had given him such treasures. Listen to the way Allah describes his wealth. We had given him such treasures that the keys to these treasures would weigh down heavily upon a large group of strong and sturdy men. Meaning that it took a very large group of strong men to carry the keys to the treasures. Imagine the treasures. That's how rich he was. So Allah says, one day, فَخْرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ. One day, he emerged amongst his people in all his pomp and glory. قَالَ الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوْتِيَ قَارُونُ إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah says, those people who sought the life of the dunya, they looked at Qarun. And they said, oh, how we wish that we could be given exactly what Qarun has been given. Indeed, he is a man of a great share. He is a man of a great lot. Allah has really blessed him. Later, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished Qarun before their very eyes, the very people, Allah says, the very people who yesterday wanted to be in his place, when they saw the punishment that Allah inflicted on him, they began to rub their hands in sorrow, glad that they had not been in his place, and began to say, وَيَكَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَقْدِرُ. That, oh, lo, behold, it is woe be unto him. Truly Allah gives whatever he wishes of his sustenance, risk, in great measure or in restricted measure, to whom he will amongst his servants. So yesterday the people wanted to be in his place, but the moment they saw the punishment that Allah inflicted upon him, as a result of his wealth and arrogance, and his transgression, they withdrew and said, no, we are glad that we went to this place. So the Qaruns of today, we look at them, and like those idiots of Banu Israel, we also say, oh, how we wish that we could be in their place. And we think just like them. We think to ourselves, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this hadith, that the fourth man, Allah has deprived him of wealth and of understanding. So he looks at the third one, and he says, yes, If I had that much wealth, I'd also have a private jet. And this is what I would do with a private jet. If I had that much wealth, I'd also have a private yacht. And this is what I would do on the private yacht. If I had that much wealth, my mansion would be such. This is what I would do. We dream, dream, dream. These are the promises and the ambitions, the dreams and the hopes that shaitan fuels. كسراب بقيعة يحسبه الظمآن ماء حتى إذا جاءه لم يجد عنده شيء لم يجده شيئا الله أكبر اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم السلام. Just forgot part of the verse. خير Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says in a hadith, إنما أنا بشر أنسى كما تنسون فإذا نسيت فذكرون. I am but a human being, I forget just as you forget, so if I forget then do remind me. He said that when he performed 5 raka'at in salah once. It's only Allah Azza wa Jal who neither errs nor forgets. In any case, as I was saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deprived certain people of both wealth and intelligence. They look at others and they say, if I had that much wealth, this is exactly what I would do. And if truly, if he had that wealth, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, neither would he recognize Allah's rights in that wealth, nor would he fear Allah in that wealth, nor would he cement his relationships, nor would he honor his blood relationships, his silatul rahim, with his family. As a result of which, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوِزْرُهُمَا سَوَاء, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَوِزْرُهُمَا سَوَاء, the punishment of the fourth man and the third man is equal. And in some ways, the third one's better off. At least he's enjoying himself. Of course, he'll get punished for it afterwards, but at least he's enjoying himself. The fourth one is a real dope. He's neither got the wealth to enjoy, but just because he's dreaming about it, and he thinks that I'll do exactly what the third one is doing, he has to suffer the punishment for free. For nothing. He neither gets to enjoy the wealth, and in the end, he has to suffer the punishment. To which category do we belong? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. May Allah Azza wa Jalla enable us to appreciate the fact that all of these promises of shaitan are false and they are nothing but a mirage. And as Allah says in that verse, they are but like a mirage in an open wasteland that the thirsty person thinks is water. Until when he arrives at this supposed oasis, he finds it to be nothing. لَمْ يَجِدْهُ شَيْئًا. And then he finds Allah there. And Allah then gives him his full punishment. And Allah is swift in his punishment. So, may Allah give us a tawfiq to understand and appreciate that these promises of shaitan are nothing. As Allah says time and time again, وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Shaitan does not promise them anything except deceit, except deception. In another verse, يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Shaitan promises them and shaitan gives them hope, but shaitan does not in reality promise them anything but deception. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to appreciate and to understand and to value the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal and to work towards it. وصلى الله وسلم على عبده ورسول نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.